Well, we're going to finish out this week. It's called I Heart My Church, Part 2. Glory, we talked about it last week. In case you weren't with us last week, we'll do a quick review. Three things we mainly focused on last week. Number one is your pastors are here to equip you for works of service. But what is the point if they equip you for works of service if you don't ever serve? Hallelujah. Over in Ephesians 4, we looked at the ministry gifts and how it talked about their job is to equip us, to grow us, to make us mature in the things of God so that we can do what God's called us to do. Amen. And every single person in the body has something to do. Number two, what we focused on is we all have a part. Everyone say, I have a part. We all have a part in building this plan, and we all need to be enthusiastic about our part. We talked about being comfortable in your spiritual DNA just like you're comfortable in your natural DNA. There's no use in arguing with God over who he made you. And we understand that the Bible says he placed you in the body right where he wanted you. So we need to be happy. If God told me to usher, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to usher, praise the Lord. And I'm going to do it enthusiastically, not as unto men, but as unto the Lord. If God told me to join the praise and worship team, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise the worship team, hallelujah. If he told me to be in the parking lot, then in those sub-degree temperatures, I'm going to be in the parking lot, be out there with my little flashlight, dancing around, giving directions, hallelujah, because I'm satisfied with where God put me in the body. I'm comfortable with my spiritual DNA. And just like your natural DNA, you can't change it. Listen, I've been in youth ministry for a lot of years, and lots of times, you know, people are so influenced to try to change, to become something that they're not, when God just wants us to be who he created us to be. Now, you're supposed to be the most holy and sanctified version of you, but we don't change who we are. We're just happy God made us the way that he made us. Comfortable in our spiritual skin and comfortable in our natural skin. Can I get a witness? And then the third thing we focused on is that the vision comes from the head. And they download that vision into the under-shepherds, which is our pastors. It's not up to us to decide the vision of Cornerstone Word of Life Church. God has decided that. And God has downloaded that vision into our pastors, and then our pastors download that vision into us. I don't have a job or responsibility to change the vision of this place. I have a job and a responsibility to grab a hold of the vision of this place and then run my race with it. Woo, glory to God, to do my part to make sure that the plan comes to pass. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? Glory to God, don't make me come down. You don't want me to sing. Amen. I'll do it if I have to, but y'all don't want me to do it, okay? So y'all just hook up. This is going to be good this morning. It doesn't matter what's gone on yesterday, today. It doesn't matter what happened last week. Y'all get in this moment with me right now and receive from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not going to fight all day long. We're going to get in there and we're going to receive. Hallelujah. And we have unction. And you're all hooked up and you're pulling, not from me, but from the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everyone say this with me. I'm ready to receive from the Lord this morning. Amen. And so we looked at how pastor will give us the vision, and then we grab that vision and we run with it. And as we run with the vision, the body begins to grow. You know, as Reverend Opal runs with healing school, the body begins to grow. As Chad runs with the vision over Torch and Deanna runs with the vision over Torch, the body begins to grow. Hallelujah. As Stephen, as the head usher captain, and then he communicates that vision down to the other usher, as he runs with the vision given to him by the pastors who got the vision from God and they do their part, everything begins to grow because the Bible says every part is in its place doing its part. And then it says all the other parts are healthy and growing. And then I love this part, full of love. Hallelujah. And so that's what we looked at last week. Now this week we're going to focus on some of the benefits of serving. Because a lot of good things happen when you serve in the body of Christ. The first thing I want to talk about is when you serve, it connects those in need to God. You know, everybody who walks through these doors into this sanctuary doesn't have it together. And that's okay. You take your car to the mechanics, not because it's working the way it's supposed to, but because it needs to be fixed. Hallelujah. I remember there was a while not too long ago, I walked through some church doors drowning in my sin. Hallelujah. Not everything together, but just pursuing things that I ought not pursue. And my life was such a mess. But I'm so grateful that there was people there willing to serve me in love to help me figure out my place so I could run my race. Amen. People that come to this place, you know, may not always have it together, but as we serve, what we do, I love this. Hallelujah. I wrote this down. One goal of serving in the church is to win people to the Lord, to take the hands of the hurting and put them in the hands of the healer. And that's our job. And as you serve, man, sometimes I don't think we really grasp the full scope of what's happening when we serve in the body. When we're working in the nursery, do you understand what you're doing when you're working in the nursery? You are preparing the atmosphere for a mom or a dad to receive their miracle. You're taking the hands of the hurting. And as you serve in the nursery, as you usher, as you sing praise and worship, as you run sound, you're taking the hands of the hurting. Whether you physically do it or not, spiritually speaking, you're taking their hands and putting it into the hands of the healer. Wow. What a great thing to serve in the body of Christ and to help somebody find Jesus. Yeah. To help somebody receive their miracle. Listen, don't just look at ushering as ushing. Hallelujah. Don't just look at running sound as, you know, a producer back there. You know, you're creating an atmosphere for somebody to receive a miracle. Hallelujah. Over in 1 Corinthians 9:19, out of the English Standard Version, Apostle Paul said this, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more." See, you're free from all. The Bible says that Jesus died to set you free. Hallelujah. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. But then he tells us not to use that freedom to indulge in sin, but to use that freedom to help those around us. Hallelujah. I'll just keep preaching until you start shouting. Glory to God. Amen. He gave us freedom so we don't indulge in sin, but he set us free so we can serve one another. Hallelujah. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Everyone say, "I love to serve." Hallelujah. On the back of the shirt, it says, "Loving God, serving people." Amen. And that's why Jesus, one reason why he set us free is so that we wouldn't use that as an opportunity to indulge our flesh. But instead, we take all that freedom and show other people what it looks like to be free. And then furthermore, to help them become free. Look at it this way. Imagine if you were sitting at a dinner table and you had all the food in the world and you had somebody that was hungry and they came into your house, but you wouldn't give them any of your food. What's the point of having all of that substance? What's the point of having all of that blessing? What's the point of having all that food on your table if you're not willing to give it to someone who's hungry? See, Jesus has given us freedom and he's given it to us for a reason, to help those that are in need. And as you serve, you take the needy and you bring them to the Creator. You take the needy and you bring them to the one who can meet that need. Hallelujah. Over in Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves." I'm going to read that again so you can get it. Hallelujah. Do nothing out of sight. Now, listen, glory to God. As Pastor Mark always says, when we're studying this and praying about this, it's got to come through us first. Amen. So when I get up here and talk about not being selfish, don't you know the Lord dealt with me first about that? Amen. And so we all have to take inventory. We all have to keep our heart in the right place and make sure we're doing things for the right reason. So he said, do nothing out of selfish ambition. We touched on this a little bit last week. If you join the praise and worship team, hallelujah, and Ted calls you down to sing, that's not because, hallelujah, we're not doing things out. I'm not doing it so I can be seen. There's no selfish ambition in what I'm doing. I'm simply doing it to honor the Lord and to serve my pastors, glory to God. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. This scripture kind of sums up serving to me because this is what you're doing. You're just like Jesus. You're laying down your life for somebody else. You're willing to serve and do the hard things in the body of Christ so that somebody can meet Jesus Christ. You're willing to do whatever it takes, and you begin to shift, and we all have to do this. We have to begin to shift the focus off of us and onto him. Hallelujah. I wrote this down. This is what takes place when we serve. We're considering others before ourselves. We're laying down our lives so God can change lives. Every single morning when you come and Wednesday nights as you serve, hallelujah, and you lay down your life you're giving God an opportunity to touch somebody's life. Whether they've been going to church for 10 years or 10 minutes, whether they got it together or they don't got it together, as you serve, you're giving God an opportunity. Amen? And that's on us. Don't you know we live in a fallen world? And so basically, what am I saying? God can't just come in and do whatever he wants. He needs permission. And as you serve, you give the Creator permission. You are saying, God, you are welcome in this house. I am serving to make an environment for you to move as you want to move and to do as you want to do. We sing that one song. I forget what it's called. Ted might be able to help me out, or Miss Gail. But one part of that song, it talks about all of this is for you. Amen. As we serve, we're doing it all for him to create an atmosphere where he can come in and do something miraculous, where he can minister his love to the widowed, where he can minister his grace to the single parent, whether it's a mom or a dad, where he can minister his grace to somebody who maybe just lost their job and they're not sure how they're going to make ends meet. See, listen, a lot happens when you serve. Creating an atmosphere for the miraculous. Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo yourselves in honoring one another. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes to honor the people that I worship with, whatever it takes to serve the people that come to this place on Sunday morning, because it's not about me, it's about Jesus and what he wants to do. And so I'm going to outdo myself in my servitude. Oh yeah, we just make up words. Hallelujah. I'm going to outdo myself in my duty to produce a love-olution. Hallelujah. I'm going to outdo myself in laying down my life to make sure that somebody who's ministered to is having the opportunity to get ministered to. Glory to God. Over in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, very familiar passage to everybody. I'm going to read this out of the message. It says, here's another way to put it. You are here to be light. Everyone say, I'm light. Bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Everyone say, shine. Well, how do we do that in the body? We do that by serving. Hallelujah. I love this. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. Did you all get that? As you are generous with your life, as you lay down your life and serve your brothers and sisters in Christ, as you lay down your life and serve somebody who walks through those doors, and maybe they've walked through the first time, maybe they've been hurt by church, maybe they've been hurt seemingly what they think by God, even though we know that's not true, maybe they've just been hurt by life and all of its situations, as you lay down your life, you're producing an opportunity and you're prompting them to open up their heart to receive from God. Hallelujah. You prompt them to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I like it this way. Jim, if I could ask for your help real quick. I left that down there on the front row. Could you just bring that to me? It's a hairdryer. Now, I don't know a lot about these because my hair is just perfect. Somebody made the comment about my hair getting a little thinner. You know, it's not getting thinner. I'm just getting more aerodynamic. God wants me to stay fast, hallelujah, you know, and I can't have stuff weighing me down. He's got a reason and a purpose for all of it, glory to God. And so I'm just like, woo, glory to God. In the summer, I can play basketball. I got nothing weighing me down. I got slick moves and the wind is just flowing through these hairs. Praise Jesus, amen. You know, as you get older, God's got to compensate, glory to God. You know, in age, you tend to slow down and God's like, not you. I'm taking your hair, praise the Lord, so you can stay quick. Got to keep up. Praise Jesus. Amen. And so, but I was praying about this and studying this out, and this is the way I saw it. See, our life is kind of, or somebody who walks through this door is kind of represented by this hairdryer. It has potential to do so much more than what it's doing right now. You know, it's got a few options. It can blow cold air or hot air. Don't really know what the difference is. Hallelujah. But, you know, all I used to do with a hairdryer is point at my dog. So they'd chomp at the wind, you know. I mean, that's all I ever used to do with it. Hallelujah. And so, but Rachel, she uses this thing. It's got different options. But the point is, this is just a paperweight until it's plugged in. See, it doesn't function or operate the way it's supposed to until it comes in contact with the power. See, I can take this, I can turn it on, I can push all the buttons, I can do everything that I need to do, but until it comes into contact with something that is greater than it is. Until I plug it in, and I could plug it in right here at this outlet, but until I plug it in, it can't function the way it's supposed to function. It can't be what it's supposed to be. And that's how a lot of people are. They're just living in this life, and they're struggling to function. They're struggling to be. And the reason they're struggling to function and they're struggling to be, and they've got all these situations going on, is simply because they haven't been plugged in. They haven't got a hold of something greater than themselves. They haven't come in contact with something powerful. Hallelujah. And when they come in contact with something powerful, don't you know, everything changes. Now it can begin to operate the way it's supposed to operate. It can begin to do what it's been called to do, created for a purpose. Just like everybody on the planet was created for a purpose. And as we serve, we plug them in to the power so they can fulfill that purpose. So God can take care of things in their lives and rearrange some things. And all of a sudden now, they're connected to the very being that they were missing. The very life source, the very power that they needed all along to be who they were supposed to be. How does that happen? By us serving. See, as the worship team is worshiping and singing praises to God, what are they doing? They're plugging us into the power. As somebody's out in the parking lot, hallelujah, and making sure everybody's coming in a good, timely, and safe manner, what are they doing? They're plugging somebody in to the power source. Glory to God. As you usher, hallelujah, and you're helping people to the seats, glory to God, what are you doing? You're plugging somebody into the power. As Jim's doing tithes and offering, as we function as a church body, as we serve together in love, following him, what are we doing? We're giving everybody an opportunity to plug into something that is greater than them. Woo! Somebody say glory to God. Glory hallelujah. God. JC, if you take that, praise the Lord. Amen. So we want to be sure that we're doing our part. Amen. Let's go over real quick to Matthew 25, 35 through 40. We'll start in verse 34. It says this, "Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.'" Verse 37 out of New Living Translation. "Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will tell them, 'I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me.'" This is serving God and loving people. This is loving God and serving people. As we serve people, hallelujah, it may appear to us on the outside that we're just helping them, but Jesus sees it as us helping him. And every single time we do it to one of the least of these, Jesus said in his word, "You're doing it as unto me." Hallelujah. What are you doing? You're taking the hands of the needy and putting it in the hands of the healer. Now, if you keep reading on that, you'll notice he talks to another group of people. He says, "When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was cold and naked, you did not give me clothes. When I was sick and in prison, you did not come visit me." And then he said, "Now inherit your eternal damnation." Hallelujah. And at the beginning of that, he describes them differently. One is sheep and one is goats. My question to you is, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Don't look at me like that. That's the Bible. Hallelujah. I didn't say it. God said it. Get mad at him. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't though. Hallelujah. But that's what he said. Hallelujah. And he's saying this is the difference between a sheep and a goat. A sheep will see those who are hurting and help them, understanding they're helping me. A goat will see somebody hurting and then look the other way and do nothing about it. I am happy to announce that we are a church of sheep. Hallelujah. Who are eager to help one another. Amen. Who are eager to make sure that everybody is well taken care of, to make sure that everybody has the same opportunity to receive from Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Somebody say amen. Amen. Brother Hagin used to say, if you can't say amen, say oh me. Hallelujah. But we are sheep. Everyone bah. Amen. Glory to God. I want to be a sheep. I want to do something to meet the needs. I want to be that person who can make sure, do you need something when they come to church on Sunday morning? All right, let me help you out. Let me get you what you need. Why? Because I'm doing it unto Jesus Christ. Not just serving people, but serving God in all that we do. So number one, it connects those who are in need to Him. Amen. Number two, serving in the church. It teaches us how to submit our lives better to receive from God and receive from our pastors. This is an important one. Submission. Now, hallelujah, if there's any teenagers in the room, I love you. Hey, but I've been in youth ministry for 16 years. Hallelujah. There's something in our society right now that's really anti-authority. And if we're not careful, it'll seep into the church. And then all of a sudden, our hearts begin to change towards our pastors and towards our God. Listen, as you serve, it teaches you submission. As you serve, and what is submission? The definition means to come under or to place yourself under. See, I choose to come underneath the shepherds of this place, Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda. I choose to come underneath of them. And as I do that, you know what it's doing? It's teaching me how to come underneath of God. Amen. And as I submit, it's better preparing me not just to receive from my pastors, but also to receive from God Himself. Ooh, that's good. Amen. And so I'm not going to be concerned about what everyone else is doing. I am going to submit. Amen. And as I submit, I'm lining myself up to receive the promise. Over in Matthew 8, 9 through 13. Hallelujah. We'll read 8 and 9 and then 13 out of the NIV. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority. What are we talking about? Being an individual under authority will help you receive the blessing. Being a person under authority will help you receive from God. Being a person under authority will help you receive from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, and help you receive from the pastors, listen to me, that God has put over you. I just took a call in the office this last weekend, and it was someone, who had some questions. And the first question when they asked me, they're like, what do you think about this doctrine? What do you think about how I should live it? The first question I asked them is, who's your pastor? Because if Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda aren't your pastors, and I'm not one of your associate pastors, then you need to call who your pastor is for this question. Because whoever you're submitted to, that's the individual that you're given the most authority in your life, and they're going to be able to help you a whole lot more than I am. Amen. Because why? When you're a person underneath authority and when you're a person that you've said, you know what, I'm going to place myself underneath of them, then they can begin to do what they are called to do. You know, and we're going to read this scripture over here in Hebrews in just a minute, but it should be a joy for our pastors to watch over our soul. You know how it becomes a joy for them? Through submission. Because when the sheep aren't submitted, the pastor could speak to the storm all day long and nothing will change. And that's very frustrating for a pastor. But if a sheep is submitted, whew, there's power. We see that right here with this example. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one to come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done as you have believed it would. And the servant was healed in that moment. One translation says, let it be done according to your faith. So you can say this about the centurion man. His submission and his placement under authority gave him a better and a greater revelation about faith and how to receive from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, because he understood how it all worked and where everything was supposed to go. Jeremiah 3:15 says this, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. That scripture describes our pastors to a T. Shepherds after my own heart. Hallelujah, I love that so much. 1 Peter 5:1-6 out of the NIV. To the elders among you. I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, I love this, not because you must, but because you are willing. Whew, man, and that's how you can really tell a pastor's heart, because they don't do it because they have to, they do it because they want to. It's their desire. God has placed in them the spiritual DNA to care for the sheep, to watch out for the sheep, to protect the sheep, to do whatever it does to make sure that the sheep have all that they need and to make sure that the sheep are well taken care of. As I read this, I begin to think about our pastors and how hard they work to make sure this happens at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. Man, how much they love the sheep. And if you don't know how much they love the sheep, that just means you don't know them. Because they love the sheep. They're like Jesus. How can you tell that someone has a love for their brothers? They're willing to lay down their life for them. Our pastors will lay down their life for anybody in this room. Amen. Thank you for that one amen. Our pastors will lay down their life for anybody in this room. Amen. Amen. And if you don't believe that, you just don't know them. Yay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but be eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, so they told us about the pastors first, and now they're going to tell us about us. In the same way, you are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Did you know God can't submit you? Your pastors can't submit you. Submission is a choice that you make. And over in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul gives us some enlightenment about this when he said, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, right? And so he tells us the responsibility of submission is to the wives, but then he tells the husbands how this is going to happen. Love your wife the way Christ loved the church and lay down your life for him. It's amazing how easy it is to submit to God and how easy it is to submit to our pastors, because we know that they've laid down their lives. Amen. But the point is only you can submit yourself, right? You have to choose to do it. You have to choose to come underneath their authority. In the same way you are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, those who will give an account. Let them do this, what? With joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So what's he saying right here in Hebrews? If I don't submit, it doesn't hurt them, it hurts me. He says, submit, because then they can watch over your soul, and this becomes profitable for you. Hallelujah. I wrote this down. Serving in the church is a form of submission, because when you serve, you are deciding to come under the leadership's vision and plan for that body. When you serve in the church, now why is this important? Well, it's important because as I serve and as I make that connection, I'm given my pastor's authority to watch over my soul. Amen. Now, as humans, we don't like to admit this because we think we got it all together. We think we can pull ourselves through any storms. We think we can overcome everything. But I'm telling you right now, there's going to come a point in time where you're going to need your pastors to pull you through something. Yeah. Why? Because that's their job. And when you submit to them, it makes it easy for them to pull you through. Glory to God. Some of you who've been through Bible Institute, you've heard me share this story before. But when our youngest child, Christian, was born, the first 30 minutes after he was born, Rachel was feeding him there in the hospital bed. And all of a sudden, he turned purple because he stopped breathing. So we began to scream out. Nurses ran in there. They grabbed Christian by the leg, began banging him, literally grabbed him by the leg, began banging him on the back, and then they ran out of the hospital room. And then nurses, you know, they're not allowed to disclose what's really going on. So like 10 minutes later, nurses come in and we're like, what's going on? What's going on? They're like, well, we can't tell you. You got to wait for the doctor. Can't tell you. You got to wait for the doctor. And then this is the way the devil works. He immediately jumps on your shoulder. See, because before that, we hadn't named him. Rachel was sitting there feeding him, and we had not yet given Christian a name. For whatever reason, we were struggling to find a name for him. And as soon as they took him out and the nurses couldn't tell us what was wrong, the devil jumped on my shoulder, and he said this to me. He said, this is why you haven't been able to name him, because he's going to die and not live. Now, I've got a good relationship with God. I love him. I read my Bible, I pray, but that rattled me to my core. And all of a sudden, I was struggling to believe. Now, I get a little emotional when I share this, but when my pastors walked into that room with confidence and authority, and I didn't feel like praying. And I remember a pastor looked at me and he said, "Robert, we're going to pray." And he pulled us through. And they came in, and the nurses came in, and they said, "We need a name for his tag. He's down in the ICU. We need a name for his tag. The devil's on my shoulder saying he's going to die. He's not going to live." And I said, "Just call him X. Call him Baby X." And they said, "Okay." And they wrote Baby X on his band. We come to find out, in the Hebrew, X means Christian or Christ. And so we said, "That's his name. That's Christian right there. That's his name." But listen to me. Our submission gave our pastors authority to pull us through that storm. And it's amazing how people are always trying to break that relationship with your pastor and you. Just like they always tried to break that relationship with Jesus and his disciples. Just like they always tried to pit them against one another. I'm here to tell you right now, the devil will tell you whatever lie you will believe to get you out of your place. This place here, these pastors here, they will stand the test of time. And every lie that's been said against them will be silenced because there's nothing to it. My pastors, who I know, have been given the heart of God. And that's why I'm willing to submit to them. And I know every lie is just a lie. Hallelujah, trying to get me out of my place. So that way the devil, what we talked about a couple Wednesdays ago, he can't steal, kill, and destroy until he takes the word away from you. And if he can get you away from your pastor, what has he done? He stole the word. And now he slivers his little snake-like self in there and begins to steal, kill, and destroy. My pastors are able to pull me through because I've placed myself underneath. I'm a man under authority. And I love that. Hallelujah. I could tell you story after story. When you serve in the body, I can't always explain it, but it connects you. And it puts you in a position to where you're set up to better receive from your pastors and better receive from your God. Hallelujah. So it makes it a joy over them that they can finally watch over our souls. The third and final thing, benefits in serving, is as you connect and you serve in the body, it gets you what you need. God never forgets about you. And I love what Jim was talking about. As you sow seed, when you come to a time where you need a harvest, as you serve, you're putting seed in the ground. And when you need it, guess what? It'll be there. Over in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, he read it, but out of the NIV it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Now, we use this lots of time in finances because as you reap finances, guess what you're going to sow? Or as you sow finances, guess what you're going to reap? Yeah. You're going to reap finances. But here he says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So when I sow to somebody in need, guess what? When I'm in need, I've got a harvest right there waiting on me because I've already put some seed in the ground. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you're working in the parking lot. Doesn't matter if you're on the praise and worship team. Doesn't matter if you're with the children, the youth, mighty men. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're meeting a need. You're sowing a seed to fulfill a need. Amen. And therefore, when you have a need, you've got a seed that you put in the ground that you can call on. What does the Bible say? My God shall supply all of my needs, not just my financial needs. All of my needs. How? According to his riches and his glory. Yes, my financial needs, but he's going to meet all my needs. My mental needs, my emotional needs, my physical needs. My God will meet all of my needs. Why? Because I put some seed in the ground. This is how the kingdom of heaven operates. Jim just talked about during tithes and offering. It was perfect. Amen. So let's keep reading. He says this, "God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whatsoever he sows to please their flesh, from the flesh shall reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." That's what you do when you serve. You are sowing unto the Spirit. How do I know you're sowing unto the Spirit? Because lots of times the flesh doesn't like it. The flesh hates serving. Because you got to push down. Isn't that what Jesus said? If any man wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. What? Daily. And follow after me. Your flesh doesn't like to serve because there's certain things you have to do that may be a burden. That's what the cross is, right? It's a picture of pain and suffering. It's a burden. There's going to be things that you have to do when you serve that your flesh doesn't want to do. I got to sign this agreement saying I won't participate in these things. What is that about? I've got to show up early. I've got to wear this outfit. There's certain things you have to do when you serve that your flesh doesn't want to do. Right? So I know when you are serving, you are sowing unto the Spirit. Which leads us to another point. You can't do it in the natural, in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. I serve Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda by faith. Come on now. If I try to serve them in the natural, guess what? They're going to irritate me and I'm going to irritate them. Because we're human. But I serve by faith. And when I serve by faith, guess what? I have grace for my pastors. And little things that would normally offend me or annoy me don't offend me and don't annoy me because I'm doing it by faith. And now it's easy just to say, oh, they didn't mean that. Listen, I'm telling you, if there's any cracks in your ship, the devil will exploit them. And you'll sink. Concerning my pastors, there ain't no cracks in the ship. I know them. I know them. Amen. And so it's easy. So we do it by faith. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, I love this. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Now here you go, the last part. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So what is he saying? Yeah, you should do good works out there in society when you're at the grocery store, when you're at the gas station. You should do that. But here he's penning it and he says, especially do good in the house of faith. Well, what are good works in the house of faith? Ushering, prayer groups, all the things that are back here, nursing home, praise and worship team. There's hallelujah. So many different ways for us to plug in and to sow seeds. So that way God can get us what we need. Amen. I want to read it out of the message for you and then we'll close. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. While a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, hallelujah, harvest a crop of weeds. All he'll ever have to show for his life is weeds. But growth work in him, harvest a crop of real life, eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I skipped something. I'm trying to rush. A person who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvest a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. At the right time, we'll harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. See, it's a blessing to you when you serve. It's a blessing to you when you serve. So what are our takeaways? Number one, serving allows others to connect to God. Number two, serving teaches us submission and puts us in a place to receive from God and to receive from our pastors. Number three, serving is a blessing to you and a blessing to me because we're putting seeds in the ground for a time when we're going to need them. And every time you have a need, if you've sown some seed, there'll be a harvest right there when you need it. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for Cornerstone Word of Life Church, for our pastors, and for everybody in this place that serves and does what you've called them to do. I thank you that they have a grace to do it, that they wouldn't grow weary in well-doing, but they would serve enthusiastically, they would serve one another in brotherly love. We ask for all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, before you get up, I want to let you know that there's tables at the back of the sanctuary. Listen to me. We believe in serving at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. Can I get an amen? And since we believe in it, we want to make sure you have opportunities to do your part, to bring out the gift that God's put in you. If you're not plugged in, stop by one of these tables and put your name down. Get involved, connect to your church, connect to your pastors, and help others connect to God. Amen. Loving God, serving people. You are dismissed. Stay warm, stay safe.